The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Place in our hearts, O God, an understanding of the necessity to be intentional with our faith. It's tempting to be a bit passive in our lives as Christians. Inspire us to reach out to others with love, to take time for prayer and worship, and to look for ways to build upon our ongoing faith story. In your name we pray, amen. We have Andrea Kratzky with us this morning. She is a biology major.
The reading today comes from Jonah chapter 4, and I apologize it is long, but you are seated, so. When God saw what the Ninevites did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is why I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant that made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head and to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said, "and I am so angry I wish I were dead." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for this great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of the Lord. We are at an end. Spring break is over, and it's time once again to face the horrors of organic chemistry. Lent is over, and if you try to give something up, you can either celebrate your success or learn to live with your failure. And Easter over, and all those wonderful chocolates are now gone, and the only remnant are those disgusting hard-boiled eggs that will probably not be eaten for another couple of weeks. And for the most part, the story's over. I mean, sure, we have Pentecost to look forward to, but honestly, no one really cares about Pentecost. I mean, 3 out of the 4 gospel writers didn't even think it was important enough to write down, and it's not like evangelists go around saying, "Jesus died for our sins, and then sent us tongues of fire." No, it's time to face the fact that the Easter story is truly over. The road trip of Wednesday night Holden Vespers is over. We are at the end of the story. I kind of have a love-hate relationship with the ending of stories. I hate them because it means whatever adventure I was caught up with is now over, and I have to go back to my less exciting life. But I also really like them because in that happily ever after, there's a promise that even though the story's over, the main characters are going to be better people because of the adventure they've gone through. That's what I really love about endings. They're much more neat and tidy than real life. Over interim, I had the opportunity to travel to Holden Village with 20 other Olies and live cut off from internet and cell service in the middle of nowhere in a tiny mountain village in the Cascades. This is my own story of there and back again. This is the story of an ending. To tell you everything about Holden Village would probably take at least a week of chapel talks. If you're interested, there's a pew of Holdenites right there. You can ask them. But I digress. Through living at Holden in the BTST class, which took up most of our mornings, we were given the chance to think about and question many of the things that we took for granted in normal life. What did it mean to be religious? What did it mean to be a consumer? Were we actually in control of our consumption, or were we just the products of the world we lived in? And where does religion fit into that world? Where should it fit into that world? And what does it actually mean to question our assumptions? Being at Holden was a wonderful adventure, one that changed the way I look at many aspects of my life. But like all adventures, it had to come to an end. Before we left Holden, we each took a few minutes to write down a few of the goals of things we wanted to change when we got back to campus. My list of goals turned into much more of a huge, rambling person I want to be dream when I come back. I didn't really think about whether it was realistic. It didn't worry me. Everything seemed realistic at the time. After all, I had been at Holden. Things would be different now. Or so I thought. Instead, I became like Jonah. One story I always hated as a little kid was the story of Jonah. Here's Jonah, a kind of mean person because he's not going to help the Ninevites change from their ways. He is swallowed up by a giant fish, prays, learns his lesson, and is spit back out and goes to Nineveh. It's a good story up until that point. But what does Jonah then go and do? He goes and gets mad at God for not smiting the city of Nineveh. Little Andrea was enraged by this. He was eaten by a fish. Shouldn't he have done an entire 180 and become a better person? When I got back to St. Olaf, I made an effort to enact some of my goals right away. I started getting sleep, which is a very good thing. You should try it sometime. And then in order to be more eco-friendly, I didn't buy as much from the cage. And what I did buy, I didn't buy, wasn't like packaged. I also made an effort to spend less time on the internet and go outside where I'd felt more connected to God. And at first I was off to a strong start. But strong starts do not necessarily mean success. After a few weeks, I was back to checking Facebook incessantly. Cold weather had driven me inside for a couple days, and my motivation to go back outside after that was remarkably lacking. And I don't even want to comment on the number of disposable cups I have added to that landfill. And to add one final insult to my already waning pride, the week before spring break loaded me up with enough homework to justify to myself getting less sleep. The one goal that I had actually held on to. What had happened to me? Where was this storybook ending? The one where I became the person I dreamed about being at Holden. As I was trying to explain my chapel talk to people, the word that came up a lot was intentional. Holden was an intentional community. It was a place where people were intentional about what they did with their time, what they ate, where their power came from. And that's why they were able to enact real change, was because they were intentional about the things they wanted to change. That's why Holden felt so different. Which brings up the question of how intentional I was when I came back from Holden. I thought I was being very intentional. I wrote down my goals for Pete's sake, something I had never done in my life. And I even followed through with them at first. But then I stopped. I stopped being intentional. Somehow it just kind of felt easier. It was easier to check Facebook than to go outside, and it was easier to buy something at Norway Cafe to stay awake, even if I didn't have a reusable mug with me. And since I was not surrounded by people who were being intentional, there's little motivation for me to put in the extra effort. Heck, I didn't even think I needed to put in the extra effort. Isn't that the point of a life-changing experience, that you don't have to think about it ever again because because life can never be the same after that moment. The ending of Jonah is very unfulfilling. It ends with God asking Jonah, "And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" That's it. There is no more. We don't know what happened to Jonah after that. Did he repent and change, or did he go on in his hate? It's left open. It's as if somebody has ripped the last page out of the book to keep the story from ending. But the truth is, that's our life sometimes. Our life, like Jonah, is not a series of stories that wraps up nicely at the end of each section. There's no last page to promise us that life will be different after this moment. Instead, we have the freedom to continue writing our story from this point on. And if we're intentional about it, and with the help of God, then we do have the possibility to enact real change in our lives. But it takes effort. A lot of effort. Because the journey's not over yet. The story has just begun.
May our God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, be with you this day and always. Amen.